This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge, Sonia, at the table with Alan and Mariana today. Barry's still driving. He'll join us soon. Alan Morris, our chair, is going to bring us up today on some of the gossip within NZB. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Mariana. Hopefully, Barry will join us shortly. Quite a few things have been happening, which I thought it was timely to share with your listeners. First, and no specific order, really. So first, in May, we made the strategic decision to disestablish the role of the chief director and redistribute those functions across a suite of specialised committees.
Wow.
I want to acknowledge the time, energy and commitment of Murray over the last 11 years or so. The amount of work that goes in behind the scenes is often not appreciated and not recognised, but it is always a much bigger role than we ever anticipate.
Yeah, correct.
The decision is not about the now, but about the future. So we wanted to ensure we were meeting the needs in a way demanded by clubs and players as we look forward to the future. And that was the substantive reason for the change. So we've broken the role into five. Firstly, we will engage a head director, and we have an expression of interest in the market at the moment for that role. And that role is primarily about ensuring that we have good pathways for directors and that we provide the appropriate support and assistance of our directors right from club level through to national director. The second part is the establishment of a fair play regime, which used to be wrapped up under the old complaints protocols.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And that is about not only dealing with complaints, but dealing with behaviour, dealing with learnings and insight and education, trying to support the clubs in terms of how they deal with those sorts of things. And that we have made an appointment with that, and that is being headed up by Julie Atkinson, and she's working on the framework for that. When we get to the complaint part of that fair play protocols, the plan is that we will have a panel of senior players that will hear complaints, ensuring, of course, that there are no conflicts of interest, and that the idea is to ensure that we handle those as expeditiously as we can and with fairness. The third element relates to the rules and regulations which govern our game, and Matthew McManus will continue in that position. We've got new rules that will be promulgated in 2027. That's part of the WBF arrangement. So there are, I suspect, some tweaking will go on. I'm of the opinion that we want to make the game as simple as possible at a club level. Like a lot of sports, rules can get in your way. And we should try at a club level make this game as simple as possible to encourage more and more people to play the game. When we move to tournaments, that's a different story. You know, we're bound by a set of rules. The fourth element relates to teaching and learning. We are now trialling all of the new material that has been rewritten as we've tried to contemporise that. That's been trialled by about 8, maybe 10 clubs at the moment, and that will get expanded, and that will be used as the future teaching material that will be available, is available, or will be available on the website. That program will be extended to include directors and scorers as well. So that is trying to be teaching part for directors is to ensure that we are getting enough coming through at club level and then at local tournament level. The club level, I have a viewpoint on, this is my personal viewpoint, is again, I want to make that as simple as possible, not overcomplicated by rules. I've asked them to have a look at the use of an app or building an app to help directors at that local level. So that would have movements and it would have the simple rulings that they face 99% of the time.
Yeah. Okay.
And do away with examinations. I just think if we've got older age people that we want them to be part of the administration, asking them to sit exams is in some cases a bit daunting. So that's underway. And then lastly, the fifth element or pillar of the change relates to the events management, which is under Bridget. That will continue to cover the national events, Congress, the regional championships, and anything else that we throw in there from time to time. So those are the structural changes at an administrative level that we started to roll out in May of this year. Here's Barry.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
Hey. What have I missed?
You missed all the good stuff.
Can you just quickly review what the five changes are?
Okay. That's a very quick snapshot of what I just...
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's...
5 minutes talking to Mariana about.
Hamilton Club runs about 8 or 9 tournaments a year, and getting directors is, you know, they're thin on the ground, particularly when you sort of get to a 10A and you're meant to have a national director. It gets really tricky trying to get those.
It gets a bit hard, and we've just got to be a bit more flexible in how we deal with that. And maybe we've just got to have a very competent tournament director with support from somebody else if required.
Yeah.
It's no good us digging our toes in and saying it has to be this way if we don't have the infrastructure to support it at this point of time.
That is actually happening, Alan. I mean, it has been that you can get a tournament director if there's a national director playing or available or whatever, but obviously you still have to get permission to do that, and it's a bit of a it's a bit of a mission sometimes.
Well, we should try and make it a lot easier than what it is. We shouldn't be making these things missions in what we're doing, which probably leads quite nicely as a segue into the review of tournaments that's just about to be released for 2026. And that will place a lot more of the process in the hands of the regional committees and of the clubs. A lot more flexibility in terms of what they do and how they do it, how we deal with events in neighbouring regions. I think from memory, we're saying if it's within 150 kilometres, then there are some constraints. But beyond that, you know, we're trying to give the flexibility to the clubs to run their events.
Yeah.
We've also said as part of that, which you'll see when it gets released, arrangements around online as well. So that's trying to make the administration of the events a lot easier. Reverting back to some of the other changes, as you would be aware, Peter Newell has joined the board, replacing Anna Colmer. He brings a different set of skills and bridge knowledge to the table, and I think he will be very, very good in time. In the coming months, leading up to probably November, we'll be seeking nominations to the board. Over the last 6 to 9 years, we've had a pretty stable group there.
Yes.
They've worked pretty well together and have made decisions which they think are in the best interest of Bridge in this country. And there are a number of people I think we should acknowledge. And I say that on the basis that I'm on my way out. Clearly, Alan Dormer, who had to step down for health reasons, that's going back quite some time now. Karen Martelletti, who unfortunately passed. Anna, who recently stepped down due to work commitments. And at the end of this year, Anne Barraclough, who retires and is not eligible for re-election, like myself. Now, Anne, like a lot of people that sit on the board who commit a hell of a lot to this game, that is not often seen. But in respect of Anne, her focus has always been on ensuring that we're doing the right thing. She is very governance focused, and she has kind of steered us through the changes to the Incorporated Societies Act and the development of our own constitution. She has been instrumental in the building of the toolbox, which is now on the website. I think about 80 pieces of advice in there at the moment and growing.
Oh, how many years has Anne been on the board?
She will be coming up 9 years as well.
So 9 years is the cutoff, is it?
That's the cutoff. Under the Constitution, we can do no more than nine.
To be fair, that's probably enough for probably most people.
Is. And the purpose of that is to ensure that you're always refreshing.
Yeah. I wasn't suggesting that Anne's been there long enough. I was just suggesting that anybody that wants to put 9 years in is probably due for a break at that point.
Yeah, at the time you don't think too much about it, but it does take time. You commit quite a bit in one form or another. Four other people that I think I should mention. Fergus Moore, who was our honorary solicitor. He's hung up his shingle. We will be looking for a new honorary solicitor. Graham Stout from the Deep South, who's been on the Complaints, Discipline and Disputes Committee for a long time, has stepped down. He will be replaced. Jenna Gibbons, who was on the Congress Committee way before my time, I think, has stood down. And post the World Champs in Denmark, Jonathan Westerby will be retiring as chef de mission. And in that respect, we've got an expression of interest out there, with hopefully a response by the end of this week, 4th of July. And we'll look to make a decision prior to the end of July as to a new chef de mission who will lead all of that work that comes under the auspices of the International Committee.
When do you step down, Alan? When does your...
December 31.
So it's been 9 years, and actually the Bridge Zone's been going for most of that time.
That's what I mentioned to Alan before, Barry. I said, maybe we're one of your legacy things.
If I've got a legacy.
I'm sure you have.
That's probably one that he doesn't want. Well, hopefully the new chairman will be prepared to come on and speak with us. I don't know how many times we've had you on, Alan, but it must be a few.
As you know, historically the chair was elected by the members being the clubs. That changed when we redid the constitution a few years back, and the chair is now elected by the board members. So as to the future, I don't know who that will be. They'll make a decision in the new year as to who that will be once they know the composition of the board.
Right. Big changes.
Yes, there have been some big changes. So what else? A couple of weeks back, we had the AGM. The fact that we had very few clubs turn up, it was a meeting that you could attend either online or face-to-face. It was either recognition we were doing okay, or actually, people don't care. But it went pretty smoothly. Everything went through without an issue. The thing that I would like to mention more than anything else is that this year, historically, we used to present just the financials. But we are now required to provide a performance report, which includes non-financials, which we did, and that will mature year on year. But of course, clubs will have to do likewise. So when they do their annual AGMs, in addition to the historical financial records, they will have to prepare a performance statement of non-financials. We will have something in the toolbox to help clubs with that. You know, it's something that they need to do to comply with the legislation.
What are we talking about there? Non-financial? Are we talking about membership numbers? Or
you could be talking about anything that you deem appropriate that your members need, should be aware of or know about. So it could be membership. It could be the type of membership. It could be the amount of events that you run and so on. Anything that is kind of deemed part of the administration of the club that you consider to be important in the running of your club affairs.
Maybe
so
that
if you have a look at what we did for New Zealand Bridge, it'd give you a guideline of the things that we talked about. Membership, we broke that membership down. We talked about tournaments, international, teaching and learning, progress we had made against the 13 objectives that we set ourselves for the last 12 months.
Sounds like an annual president's report, but maybe with a bit more content in it.
A bit more context and content. Yep, I think that would be right. So clubs need to be aware that they have a requirement to do that, and it takes a bit of preparation. We talked about, we've got about 50% of our clubs are now registered under the Incorporated Societies Act. They have to complete that by the 16th of April next year. And if they don't, they get deregistered. And if you get deregistered, that means that in accordance with your constitution, you would have to redistribute your assets. You don't have to register, But those are the consequences if you want to be a member of an incorporated society. I stress that those clubs that haven't yet done it or haven't completed it, to get on with it, it takes a little bit of time. Again, there is some significant support within the toolbox, and Barrett Clough has been available to help clubs through that pathway. I mean, I don't know how many bits of advice we've offered in that regard, but it's been significant.
Join us next week when we continue our chat with the chair of NZ Bridge, Alan Morris.
To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Hi Patrick, you're replacing the judge this week. We just want to talk about major and minor penalty cards. Players that are maybe less experienced or not so familiar with the rules. It's all a bit confusing. Minor penalty cards, major penalty cards, and what's the difference?
Okay, well, the most common penalty card is a major penalty card. Let's just call them penalty cards because they happen so much more frequently. When you've got a penalty card, you must play it the first time as a legal opportunity to play it. So if you have put an ace on the table and it shouldn't have been there, it stays on the table. And then if somebody plays a different suit that you haven't got any cards in that suit, you must discard that ace. If somebody plays that suit, you must play that ace. Right? So the first time you can play it, you must. And only defenders have penalty cards, not the clearer. With penalty cards, when partner gets on lead, if you've still got that penalty card there, declarer has some options about the lead, which are either to say, oh, just leave it there, leave what you like, or pick it up and we'll demand your partner lead that suit, or we'll forbid your partner from leading that suit. That's what happens with most penalty cards, which are called major penalty cards. But you can have what's called a minor penalty card, and that's something where you've got, first of all, it's a card below an honour, so it's 9 or less. And it must have got there somehow by accident. One way is you fumble a card and it drops out of your hand onto the table. Another way is maybe you play a card and as you're putting it on the table, the card you're playing slides a bit and everyone sees there was a card beneath it. That's also unintentionally got on the table. So first of all, it can't be that you thought you were out of suit and you played something and you said, oh, damn, I have got a heart after all. The card you put on the table, that wasn't by accident, right?
Yeah.
A minor penalty card has to be on the table by accident, that sort of thing, or unintentionally might be the word that's used. And what happens is, first of all, if you have an opportunity to play that card, you might not have to because the rule is that it just has to be the first small card in that suit that you play. For instance, if you've got a small diamond on the table as a minor penalty card and someone plays a diamond, well, if you've got a big diamond that you want to win the trick with, you can play that card instead. You just can't play a different small diamond.
Right.
So it has to be the first small card of that suit that you play. Also, those lead penalties that we were talking about, they don't apply when your partner's on lead. You don't even have to play that. So let's say you get on lead in another suit and you've got this minor penalty card on the table. You could lead a big card in that suit or you could lead a completely different suit if you want to. You just can't lead a different small card in that suit. That's the only thing. So a minor penalty card is not even well named in that it's not minor. It's almost completely irrelevant penalty card.
That's a better name for it. I could probably understand that more.
But getting back to these major penalty cards, these aces, I'm worried about because I'm pretty sure I get less aces than most other people. It just seems that way. Now,
the bridge gods are just trying to protect you from yourself, you know.
Now you're telling me that I have to throw it away. How have I got this major penalty card?
You could have got it in any way sometimes if it's this big card. You know how I talked about fumbling and dropping a card on the table?
Yeah.
If you fumbled and dropped an ace on the table, it would be a major penalty card.
Tough titty.
Because a minor penalty card can only be below an honour. Let's say you fumbled and dropped this ace on the table. That's the rule. Ignoring the opportunity to demand or forbid from your partner. Let's say you drop the ace of a side suit. Well, declarer, if they're cunning, should draw as many trumps as they can till you're out of trumps and have to throw away that ace.
Yeah.
No? God. I'm going to hang on to my aces. I'm not going to have that.
He's right. Going to put them under his thumb every time he spreads the card.
That's sort of like an accidental thing. And I guess if
it could be that you thought that Declara played a diamond from dummy, but you misheard them and they've just played a spade from dummy, which is trumps, right? If dummy has pulled that spade that Declara called for and you didn't notice and you put your ace of diamonds up, they say, no, but we played spades. Haven't you got any spades? And you say, oh, I have got a spade. Did you play spades? And they'll say, yes. Well, you put that ace of diamonds on the table yourself. So that wouldn't matter if you... So that would be a penalty.
That'd be another example.
Even if it was the two of that suit.
But I still can't get my head around if you've got a minor penalty or a penalty card and it just happens to be a minor one, that you can play something else and you don't need to play that.
Yep.
And I guess if you led an ace or led a major penalty card out of turn or something, that would be another...
Well, and you don't need to know these rules yourself because you should have called the director. The director will be at the table to supervise this, so it's not a problem. Far too many players think that they want to know the rules, but even quite junior players really keen to tell even more junior players what's going on.
Yeah.
And they don't call the director. And then they say, da 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 da. Well, they shouldn't be doing that. They should be calling the director. So you don't need to know the difference between major and minor penalty card unless you're a director, because when there's a penalty card on the table, the director should have been called and the director will have told you.
I think the directors have only got themselves to blame. If they're going to come to the table and make me throw my aces away, it's bad for them.
Well, if I was called to your table, Barry, I might tell you to put that ace somewhere else.
You may well do. Hang on, righto.
All right, is it
That's
time to
some...
go now, is it?
It sounds like enough for this week.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, okay, yeah, bye.
He's really awesome, yeah.
Listeners, we have Jackie Blue. She's going to be updating us on the big tournament coming up this weekend at Tauranga Bridge Club, the National Swiss Pairs. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Mariana and Barry.
How are things? They're looking quite tidy.
Yes, everything's on track. As you know, anything can happen, but at this stage we've got 21 tables. Entries close tomorrow at 5 p.m. and we can obviously take more, we have capacity. Just a quick analysis of the entries we have to date, and of the 84 players we have, only 9 are intermediates. And I really wanted to put a plug in for intermediate players to play in these types of events. And I suspect the intermediate group, as in other region, is one of the biggest groups in New Zealand. And we really need to encourage them to become open players.
Yeah.
The rules changed January 21 when it became much harder, but it's still very doable. And I think we need to do everything we can to get this group into open status. And the point is, Swiss events, whether they're pairs or teams, are the best ways for intermediate players to get 8 points. Our tournament is a 20A tournament. You're going to have 12 matches of 9 boards each, and if an and you play at your own level. So if an intermediate pair won one of those matches, they get 0.74 of an 8 point straight away. Now, that's a really good way to get 8 points and match them up.
Hear, hear.
It is good to have something to play for every match. You're playing for something, whereas if you're playing in an ordinary pairs event and things aren't going so well, you're probably just plodding along until you get to the end of the session, aren't you?
Yeah, it's all very doable to win a match. And I suspect there's a lot of very strong club intermediate partnerships out there who have never tested or challenged themselves in a national event, and they would surprise themselves how well they would do, quite frankly.
So you've got 21 tables. How many could you take, Jackie, well, at a push?
From what I'm told, we can take 36 tables.
And oh, okay.
That's happened in the past. So we've got plenty of capacity to have more people entering. But close-off is 5 o'clock tomorrow. So they need to be quick. And if there's any late entries, we'll need to check with the director that he would be happy to take them. We have our house pair ready to go. So we're more than happy to have more. You know, time is of the essence now for people to enter.
It's a big event.
Yeah. The other thing I found in the analysis, women are really underrepresented at the top levels. And I know that our group for the National Swiss Fairs may not be representative around the country, but I suspect it is the case that women generally are underrepresented in the higher grades, such as Silver Grandmaster, Gold Master, Emerald, etc.
Yeah.
I can recall only one female partnership that's trialled for an open national event, and that was Jan Alabaster and Pam Livingston. I just wonder if that's a topic you've covered in the past. It would be really interesting if you had.
We have sort of. The majority of players are women playing bridge. Was it 10%, Barry, of the top players are actually male?
My understanding, and I don't know whether this still applies, is that something like 70% of our players are women,
yes.
And at the top level, 70% of them are men.
That really mirrors women in public service and top management on boards and even in parliament. That's changed hugely. And when I was competing in the Australian Open national event, there were a lot more women in pairs in the open teams competing. And I just think that hopefully that will filter over to New Zealand. We'll see more women competing in open events. Generally, I wonder why we still have women-only events now. And there's a whole heap of reasons why that's happening and how we can change it. But I just thought it would be a really interesting topic.
That is quite a contentious topic, the fact that we have women's-only events. Some people think yeah. It's a good thing and some people don't. It's quite a difficult one.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing about Swiss Tournament. And listeners, you've got till tomorrow 5 p.m. before you put your name in.
That's Wednesday 5 p.m.
Wednesday 5 p.m. I can't guarantee they will be considered, but we can always ask the director if like we can take late entries. So we've certainly got the capacity for more. Please get your entries in by 5 o'clock tomorrow, preferably.
All the best.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hope goes well, Jackie. And
thank you, Barry.
We'll see you there on the weekend.
We actually spoke with Jackie on some other subjects, so we'll include that in next week's clip. Well, that was a bit of content for the listeners this week, Barry.
It's a bit of a jam-packed program. Yeah, next week we've got a few things to add in.
All the best to everyone that's travelling to Tauranga Club this weekend. You're going, aren't you, Barry?
I am going. Saturday morning, 10:30 start.
Oh, that's a good time.
That'll be good. I don't know whether it's something to do with flights or whatever. What did Jackie say? 36 tables they could fit in. I'm sure they won't have that many, but it's going to be a good event.
Okay, well, that's all from us this week. See you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.